If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher Radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
We are one body. One. If the family is going to be strong, each person needs to know what they bring to the table. The reason why we break down in church and we dislike each other and we don't talk and we become offended by things is because we haven't clearly articulated capabilities, responsibilities, and desires. What do you want from me now that you're in the family of God? Most of the errors that we commit will be done out of ignorance. Paul tries to address this issue. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one of us are members one of another. I hold before you the two greatest hands in the universe, and they are placed on this body. Now, my hands are not greater than yours, but these are the two greatest hands in the universe because they're mine. And with these hands, I can build you a house. I can hang your cabinets. I can feed you the word of God by turning the pages. What are these hands given to me to accomplish? If I place them in my pocket and don't use them and then get jealous of your hands, then I hate you for using what God gave you rather than use what God gave me. We all have something to offer God. And in the family, we should encourage each other to use what God gives you. Don't hate on me because I'm prophesying. Don't hate on me because I'm singing. Use what God gave you. In my youth, I used to work on my automobiles. Change belts, change brakes, oil, change the water pump. I had just about every craftsman tool for working on a car. I could do it because I was mechanically inclined. One Sunday after preaching over in the chapel, I went home and changed my water pump on the car. I had a 76 Chevy Caprice. Changed that water pump. It was leaking. I ratchet it out, pull it up, get the new water pump, put it in, put the rubber seal, and get back in time for night service. Change my brakes, all that. Change belts. They used to be different belts. Belt for the alternator, belt for the pump, belt for every belt. But then when the new cars came out, I sold my tools. There's just one belt on there. What the heck? I can't even thread it. I called myself helping somebody. I was in the mall, and a lady said, "Sir, can you help me?" She said, "I need to get a jump on my back." I said, "Sure, no problem, ma'am." She said, "I have the cables." I said, "No problem." I pulled my car around, popped the hood, and couldn't find my battery, Deacon. I'm used to it being up front. I'm like, "Where the heck is the battery?" I said, "Ma'am, I can't help you. I am so embarrassed. I can't find my battery." She said, "That's all right." She said, "My husband's on the way." I took my car to the dealer. I said, "Where's the battery?" He said, "Oh, it's way up under here." I said, "Why you put it under there?" He said, "So you can't get to it." The point I make is as we grow, as we progress, we become more complicated. Every one of us remembers how easy it was to take care of our little children. That little three-year-old toddler, you could satisfy them with a chocolate chip cookie. Give them a pint of milk, they love you till the rapture comes. They'd lay down and take a nap with just a sweet song. Soft kitty, warm kitty, little ball of fur. Happy kitty, sleepy kitty, purr, purr, purr. We're my Big Bang people. We ain't right. Instead of showing 300, they ought to show the Big Bang Theory. And that child would just go right off to sleep. Sit him in front of a Big Bird and Bernie. And then let the big purple dinosaur come out. And Barney would just lull them into, whew, and then the Teletubbies. They were Pentecostal. They spoke in tongues. But now, as the children grow up to adolescent, and then preteens, they stay up all night. You can't get them to sleep. Even if you drug them, they can't go to sleep. Why? They are changing. What makes them want to stay up when they're later, when they get later in age? Because there's more for their minds to grab. They think that if they sleep, they're going to miss something. You talk to the children. I talk to people because of my training now in psychology. I want to know why people do things. So I asked some young men who were hanging on the corner. I said, excuse me, sir. I said, I want to give each of you a dollar. I said, there was about five of them just standing there. I said, I want to ask you a question. I said, why are you hanging here? He said, they kind of looked at me. First, I said, I'm not a cop. I said, I'm a pastor. They're like, oh, okay, okay. Then inevitably somebody said, my mom watch you on TV. Then why you ain't in church? All right, but understand. So I said, why are you guys standing on the corner? And they all say, we just hanging out because we don't want to miss anything. And they'll stay out there all hours of the day. And then I went back to my youth and I did the same thing. I hung out on Andrews and Ogons. I hung out on Cedar Park and Forest, or Cedar Park rather, and Haynes. I would hang out there. Why? No reason. Just didn't want life to pass you by. Why? Your brain is just moving. It's evolving. You're picking up stuff. You're getting more slang. You're getting more street smarts. You're understanding stuff that you really aren't ready to understand. You're being told things from a street level, and you evolve and become the antithesis of what your parents say, because there's nobody to help you defeat that teaching. You leave here after I have you on a Sunday for a couple of hours, and the devil has 6 days to lie to you. I get approximately 2 hours to get the truth in you. He has more tools. He has Facebook. He has Twitter. He has Instagram. He has television. He has radio. He has magazines. He has center people. Of the 168 hours that you have in a week, I get you for two. And some of you say that's too long. How do I get you to change, to evolve into a member of the body of Christ, an instrument where God abides, when my competition has more of your time? And so when you come to church on Sunday, you will not remember what was taught last week. You will bring in all the street mishigosh, which is a Hebrew word for foolishness. You will bring all that into church on Sunday. And then they've got to praise it out of you for 45 minutes. And then someone has to bring you a prayer that's met with dryness, because for 6 days we've been listening to the devil, who has told you, you don't need those people. Separate yourself from those people. You don't need to go to church. You don't need to be in that church. What is that man going to say to you? He can't tell you anything. He's only a man. Yeah, I am only a man, but I'm God's man. And I bring you what he says. Watch now, watch. He would love to tell you himself, but he can't get through all the foolishness. When he tries to get your attention by sending a storm and knocking out your cable, you call the cable company to get it turned back on. When he allows you to become laid off so that you can spend time with him, you find part-time work that keeps you busy. Now the part-time hours take up your prayer time. God says, I can't do anything about this. And I know that sounds like he's exasperated, and he is. How many times did you see in the Bible where God says, how am I going to help these people? What am I going to do? All they do is provoke me. Can you imagine? He said, all they're doing is, think about it. All they're doing is provoking me. They had God so angry that he told Moses, I ain't coming down no more. I'm sending an angel. And they better be careful, because that angel don't have as much grace as me. He's going to kill them while they're in the way. Why is that? Is it because of sin? No. Is it because of the devil? No. It is because we don't know our place. We don't know why we're here. My body functions perfectly. My kidneys kid. My liver lives. My heart beats. My mind thinks. My eyes see. My nose smells. My ears hear. My hands clap. My fingers move. Everything in me moves perfectly. Watch this. And I didn't teach it anything. I didn't tell my kidneys to start kiddling. They kiddled all by themselves. They knew what to do. When I was conceived, that heart began to beat. I don't get it. That tells me that that egg contained more than what you're taught in biology. For all that sperm did was bring life to what God already put inside of that woman. When you come to Jesus, you come with a bunch of stuff. You come with sin. You come with doubt. You come with anxiety, pride, arrogance, ungodliness. And the Spirit of God does not move all that stuff out. When he moves into a house that's all filled with bed bugs and rats and roaches and with broken glass and everything. And he comes in and he rolls up his sleeves and he says, "Let's get to work." I'm not asking you to be clean when I move in, but I'm telling you right now, I ain't staying in a house that looks like this. I'm getting that bitterness out of you. I'm getting that hatred out of you. By the time I'm done, you are going to be flipped. I'm flipping you. I moved in, you were just a row home in the hood, but when I'm done, the property brothers are going to sell you to somebody else. You serve a God that will not be satisfied with the junk that we bring him. So how does he fix it? You say, "Oh, well, he's going to come into my life and fix it." No, he isn't. No, he isn't. He's too much like God. God doesn't dirty his hands with menial tasks. He sends other members of the body. God says, "You have need of patience." He doesn't speak and say, "Patience, come." No, he put somebody in your life to aggravate you, then he won't do anything about it until you learn to accept the fact that that person isn't doing you harm, that they are making you better. The responsibility of the family is to find where I belong. And now, real quick, I'm almost done. What must I do now that I find out I'm in this family? When I found out that my daddy was, I didn't know my daddy was Jamaican when I was born. I didn't know he was my daddy. Not until my mother said it. Go ask your daddy. A child will always say, ma, because that just comes with moan. Ma. But at least with mom, you had a familiarity of heartbeat, familiarity of voice. Dad, you don't know him. Parents have to tell you, go talk to your dad. Go see your dad. You walk over. I mean, he had a very heavy accent. I'm used to Georgian people, y'all. Grits and city dress salt pork. Not sit in the house, and he had fish heads. Mama would send me to the store, get butterfish, and tell him to leave the heads and eyes on. And he'd sit there and eat the heads and eyes. But that's the best part of the fish. I said, "No, the best part of the fish is when you get rid of it." Amen. Then he'd take me to his family. And now I had to mingle with people. I didn't know that culture when I was a child. I had to learn it. I had to learn. But boy, when I did. I went to Montego Bay and I took a cab from the airport over to my hotel. And when I reached the hotel, the cab driver, he and I were talking on the way there. And I knew it. I understood everything he said. And when I got there, we were talking. And these American people came out of the hotel and they were going to get in my cab. And they were talking and he was talking to them. And they kept saying, "I don't understand." So I interpreted for them what he was saying. Why? Because I had come up in that home and I understood. I understood how with the language. I understood. You see, when you're in the body of Christ and God brings new people in, you are supposed to take those new people and help them negotiate Christianity. When they say, "I don't know how to bless them that curse me," you say, "Come on, I'm going to show you." You say, "I don't know how to be good to those who are wrong to me." "Come on, I'm going to show you." Because you see these scars? These scars come from a whole lot of intertribal warfare. But guess what? I'm still trusting God. Let me interpret these passages for you, because we're all in this thing together. You're my brother. You're my sister. Paul says, treat the older women like mothers. But he never said treat the men like fathers, because we all have one father. The women are your mothers. And they're to teach the younger women how to love their husbands. That's right. That's right. Before you get married, get a counseling session with the mothers and say, how do I love this man? And listen to them. Because they were keeping their men when men weren't staying home. They know what they're talking about. Because they'll teach you how to cook. I don't care what nobody said. Ain't no man going nowhere when that woman cooking. And so let's examine real quick towards the fact that you are a member of the body of Christ. And every one of you in particular. That means you are unique. Say, I'm unique. I need you to master that phrase because I don't want you to think that Christianity is a cookie cutter religion when you come in and you got to act like me. No, you do not. You find your groove and go with it. And then Paul says, I'm supposed to respect you in your groove. I can't judge you and you can't judge me. Respect. Now watch this. How must I live? Well, the New Testament gives us a series of phrases that are entitled one anothering. Why is the one anothering concept so important? Because it's telling us how we're to treat our bodies. How many of you go get a pedicure? Manicure. Haircut. Hair done. Eyebrows arched. Mustache cut. Brothers. No, I didn't mean that to be facetious. That's why I said brothers. Boy, I can't do nothing with Pentecostal people. You know what? Forget y'all. But you all do things to what? Make yourself look better. And what does that do for your inside? Makes you feel better. So how do you think the person in your family of believers will feel when you take the time to make them feel better? When someone is downcast, when someone's heart is broken, when someone feels like the world and God is against them, and you step in to lift them for a moment, I get a pedicure, and I go to a Russian salon. And I go in and I speak Russian. I walk through the door. Dobrый день! Everybody's, after they get over the heart attack. Then I, как вас зовут? I'm the wrong person to be speaking. I'm from southern Georgia, southern Russia. So I sit down and I talk. And the lady that generally does it, she talks to me. And she found out I was a preacher. Well, now she's reciting all these preachers to me. And I don't know these people. But we eventually get around to Jesus. We eventually talk about our Savior. Why? Because she knows other parts of the body. You see, you're connected. And even when you don't want to be, somebody will say, you look like it. Because you can hang around Christians so much until you start taking off some of their characteristics. But what does it mean to one another? To interact is what one anothering is. Jesus gives us the greatest one anothering in John's Gospel, chapter 13. He says, a new commandment I give you, verse 34, that you love one another. When I pause, just say one another. A new commandment I give unto you that you love one another. But not helter-skelter. As I have loved you, that you also love the person seated next to you, behind you, in front of you, two rows over, is deserving of your love, regardless of how they treated you. He said, as I have loved you. God has not ostracized one of us for sin. By this shall all men know that you're my students, if you have love one to another. There are people in here right now who struggle with love. You can't help it. It's because of your socialization. You came up in a non-loving home. You were never hugged as a child. You were never embraced. And those instances, unfortunately, where embraces did take place, they were followed by molestation. And so you don't even want to be hugged because it reminds you subconsciously of the agony and the pain that came with the hug. And that's why so many of our young girls grow up desperate for a man, because they've never had a father's love. And so here we are in Christ, being filled with the Holy Spirit and incapable of loving. Don't raise your hand. I ask this rhetorically, not looking for a response. But who among us lacks love? Who among us doesn't know how to show love without it being taken as lust? Why is it that a man is afraid to love a man without being labeled? I ain't gonna bother that because y'all looking at me like, yeah, well, look here, Rev. I'm sorry. I don't roll like that. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectioned. I love this. That means show affection. You know what show affection means? It's going to be all right, Adam. I know it's rough right now. I know you just don't like wearing ties. But it's going to be all right, brother. It's going to be all right. The Lord's going to bless you. I know, I know, I know. I know. That's what affection means. If you notice something about the Bible, God always wants you touching. You ever wonder why? And why we as a race of people have so much of an aversion towards touching? Don't touch me. We'll sit next to people on the bus. And you get an old timer that'll slide over. And you slide on the other way. Don't touch me. Women will go to the movies and sit right next to each other. Men space 2-3 seats. And yell at each other, hey, how you like that scene? Why do we have such an aversion when the Bible said be affectionate? Jesus said we should love. Paul says we should be affectionate. How do you weep with me when you're not affectionate? How do you rejoice with me when you're not affectionate? We've allowed the world to push affection out of our response mechanisms. Many of you will never experience the hug of God. Stand up. You love God? How would you feel if God were to hug you right now? You'd be honored, wouldn't you? You'd jump up and down, wouldn't you? Really?
Yes, I would.
We look for a spiritual lesson when he said, I am the house of God. Lord, encourage my heart. Lord, encourage my heart. When I got brothers and sisters that can encourage me. But we haven't been taught to do that. We have not had a class on how to interact with our brothers and sisters. And that's why we leave just as disconnected as we come in. You sat down, didn't introduce yourself to the person next to you, didn't even know who they were, probably were a little apprehensive. You didn't want to know who they were because it's not always good to know the new person. You didn't want to know who they were. They might ask you for some money. I'm not going to ask who they are. I'm not going to give them my name. They may ask for a ride home. I'm going to sit down because I came to receive from God for myself. But the problem with that is that's like my stomach saying, I'm only going to eat for myself, because you have to realize that when my stomach takes in the food, the nutrition goes everywhere. When God blesses you, you are going to bless me. When His Spirit comes on you, if I'm seated next to you, I'm going to feel the residual of that. This thing is not an individual thing. And you still won't ask the person next to you what their name is. Are you all right? How are things? Your brain is your CPU. 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 There's not a processor around that's as fast as your brain. Your brain is so fast that when you push the up button on your keyboard and the screen starts rolling, what you don't know is that's the best way for your eyes to work. But you've been duped into thinking you gotta slow it down. Understanding doesn't come by it being slow. By it being slow, you get bored. And the boredom causes you not to retain. Your brain is the best thing God could have given you. But then He did something unique. At the base of your brain, down at the medulla oblongata, He has this string of nerves that run down into your spinal cord. And this spinal cord is so important that God covers it with skeletal structures called disc. And just so the discs don't become a problem, He puts these pads between each disc. And you lift up stuff that hurts it, and then you get herniated disc. And if you aren't careful, when that little pad pushes the other way, it'll push up against your spine. And you'll start feeling it in your thighs and in your legs. You'll start feeling the loss of that nerve bringing that signal down there. Because something's pushing against the messenger. The messenger now, if it's healthy, everything comes down that spinal cord, and that spinal cord has these little branches that go all the way through your body. They're called nerves. They go all over. So when we use the euphemism, you get on my nerves, that means that you're touching me in places I don't want to be touched. And all that information from your brain is saying, scratch your right cheek, because your brain says it itches. Your brain says your left scapula is itching, so my right hand. Notice how God fixes that. He gives me just enough space in the right hand that I can scratch my own scapula. And what I can't reach with that one, I can reach with that one. And then when I can't reach with either one of them, He can reach it. Yeah. If I'm not too proud to ask. But here's what we'll do. Rather than, Brother Eric, would you scratch my back? See, we don't want to depend on our brothers and sisters. We rather depend on a wall, something without feeling. And Paul says, no. Oh, no. When one travels over to Romans chapter 12, one begins to see. The first thing Paul says is change your thought processes. You're thinking wrong. You're thinking individual. And you're no longer an individual when you come into the body of Christ. You're part of a perfect, functioning, oiled, Holy Ghost oil, machine. Who is healthy, wealthy, and full of power. Just like your body is made to heal itself. Ooh, doggy. Y'all don't hear me. The body of Christ is able to heal itself. When one of our members is beat up and broken down, another member. In your body, God has white blood cells. When there's a cut over here, the white blood cells will begin to mobilize, run through my body. That's why that part where you have the cut gets hot. You know why it gets hot? Because all those white blood cells are racing over to it. They multiply. They triple in number. Why? Because they're going to hold the infection down until the epidermis mingles with the dermis. Now put the Band-Aid on it just so it doesn't get any dirt in it. But the Band-Aid isn't healing it. is just the wing covering us with his feathers while the healing takes place. When you are really broken, God will cover you in fellowship. He'll tell you, go to the woman's prayer on Saturday. Go to the men's prayer on Saturday. I came to the men's prayer yesterday. They thought I was just coming, but I was hurt about something, and I came in for the brothers to cover me in prayer. They were my feathers and didn't even know it. Because we're all parts of one another. We're all parts of the body. We're all part of one house of God. Don't alienate yourself. Don't allow the devil to push you away from your brothers and sisters. Reach out to them. You may be an introvert like me. God has other introverts. We need our own club until we get used to people. Just a bunch of us neurotic people hanging out together, but that's okay. The only way to bring in correct people is when we all get together and see we need them. But as long as the devil has us off in our own world, we won't never think we need anybody. Let me finish. Paul says, this is how I treat them. I'm to be kindly affectioned one to another. Then he says, in honor, prefer one another. In the body of Christ, that means that you let that person have the last two hot wings while you say, well, that's it. I've had 13. You can have the next two. Give up that parking space that you waited an hour to get and someone comes in. Let them have it. Prefer one another. Put someone above you. Uh-oh. I tell you, you're fortunate this is the last one. Put somebody before you. You don't get what you want, but let them have it. You didn't get noticed. They didn't call you to testify. Rejoice with the one who did. It's all the same body. Hey, oh. Watch this. He says, now there is a natural response. In chapter 12, verse 11, you're not to be slothful in business. Pay your bills. If you borrow money from a saint, pay it back. If a saint does work for you, pay them. And if you're working for a saint, do the best job you can. Don't misrepresent yourself. I get tired of people calling me, telling me about shoddy work from people who say they're Christians. No, not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Fervent means heated. That means you got a praise going on. When you come in, you're not dry. Pastor Lupton and I went to an Eagles football game several years ago, and it was kind of nippy outside. And we sat there in our seats, and there was a group of men behind us that had taken off their shirts, painted themselves the colors of the Eagles, and they were screaming, let's go, let's go, let's go, Eagles! Pastor Lupton and I looked at each other, looked back at them, and wished we could have had a pulpit set up down at the 50-yard line. Because we said, these people can get up and scream for the Eagles. And we come in church and just as dead as can be. Paul said, we're to be fervent. That means you're to be hot, hot, hot. In other words, so hot that you rub off on somebody else. You ought to be so hot that you say, I want the dead folk to sit next to me so I can show them how it's done. I ain't letting you take my praise. Shirley Caesar said they told Shouting John that he couldn't praise the Lord in their church. He said, fine, if you don't want me to praise him in your church, I'm going to praise him right here. Lord have mercy. He said, because God's been good to me. He said, I got 10 children, and not one time did I have to go to the jailhouse. Not one time were they in serious sickness. I'm here to tell you, God has been good to you, and he deserves radical praise. Fervent! On fire! Notice what he says. You're to be fervent in spirit while you're serving the Lord.
Stop whining.
Well, I got to go to another class. I got to teach tonight. Shut up. You don't have to teach if you look at it like that. You ought to say, praise God, I'm up tonight. Hallelujah. I'm teaching out of the book of John. And tonight we're going to chapter 3. We're going to talk about Nick at night. And Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. Somebody said he was sneaking. No, he wasn't sneaking. He came to Jesus at night because he didn't want to wait till the morning. That's how bad Jesus is. When you hear about him, you want to come right when you hear about it. You don't want to wait till later on when the hunger might dissipate. Brother Jason called me one time when he was going home and he went past the Krispy Kreme. And he called me when it used to be on Cottman Avenue. He called me and all he said was the magic word. He said, lights on. I said, you know what to do, ain't nothing to it but to do it. The brother came to church and bought my helper. I preached after that service, after that ministry that he brought me. All he said was, the lights are on. Glory! When somebody tells you, we got service tonight. Yeah! You mean I get to go to church again? You mean I get to praise God with my brothers and sisters? You mean I get to come to the house of worship? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the 6 o'clock service. Patient in your tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. This is what God says you're to do. Distribute to the necessity of the saints. Don't let saints go hungry. We're family. There's no way we will let our family go hungry. There's always an extra plate for family. I didn't know what hunger was. Some people thought, oh, well, you know, I knew hunger. No, I didn't. There's always food in my house. Shoot, I thank God. There's always something in the house. There was Spam, government cheese, powdered milk, carnation. There's always something to eat in the house. Chicken feet, lard, souse cheese, city dress salt pork. With the hair sticking out the rind. And of course, the manna from heaven, hot dogs. If the children of Israel had hot dogs, they would have went to the promised land. He says, not only are you to distribute to the necessity of the saints, but you're to be given to hospitality. Take someone home that needs a ride. Be kind to people. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice. I just got a new car. Praise God! Not, that's where the church money going. Now, I didn't get a new car, but I use myself. Rejoice when someone is blessed. And then he says, weep with them that weep. Someone has a loss in their family, come to the service if you're able. Show up and let them know you're praying with them. Rejoice and weep. Be of the same mind. I love this. Be of the same mind one towards another. No partiality. Don't get close to Pastors Gray and Harris thinking they're going to help you get close to me. Don't have partiality. They're not allowed to have partiality. You're not allowed to have partiality. So he says, be of the same mind one towards another. Be the same. Sometimes ministers, bless their hearts, they create their own splits by putting certain people on top of others. No, be of the same mind. Then he said, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estates. In other words, don't walk around acting like you're better than anybody else, only hanging with the bougie. Spend some time with the poor folk. See, every now and then, I go back to my old neighborhood. I hang out with the guys. It's lessening now. But I let them know, just because God has blessed me and called me to this Episcopal office and blessed our ministries and all these great things he's doing, they're still important to me. It speaks volumes to them. They're not going to convert me. Chances are I may not convert them right now. But at least they get to hear the gospel. And they get to hear it from somebody they trust. Remember the poor. Remember the disenfranchised within our own congregation. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide all things honest in the sight of all. If it's possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably. This is a powerful verse because he's telling us here that there are some people that will not live at peace with you, no matter how hard you try. But at the end of the day, God is saying, you ought to be able to say, I've done everything I can do. This person is just a jerk. And Lord, they're in your hands. And I'm moving on. Don't sit there letting their bitterness become yours. Separate yourself. You tried. They won't change. Get out of Dodge. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. Give place means don't let wrath get the better of you. Let it go. For it is written, vengeance belongs to God. He said, I will repay, saith the Lord. You don't have to fight anybody. God will get them. One thing I loved about David, Saul tried to kill David 20-some times. And David would not respond with equal force. In fact, there were a few instances where they could have killed him. They could have killed Saul. But David said, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. I want you to see how important your responsibilities are one to another. Love one another. Forgive one another. Edify one another. Exhort one another. Build each other up. But most importantly, realize that we are parts of each other. And if I tear you down, I'm tearing myself down. Past.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
11515P.
This message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.
Exciting news! Bethel has gone prime time. Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE Channel 51 Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord. Praise God.